Father, thank you for your precious Son, Jesus. And we come boldly right now in the name above all names. We come in that precious and most beautiful name. Oh, the loving name, the name of all comfort, Jesus. Thank you again that we do. We stand in awe of that name. We weep in that name. We are moved to thankfulness and joy and, oh, a breaking in our hearts, a ravishing of our soul in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you again for this Son that you have so freely given us. Thank you for the Lamb of God. Thank you again for the purpose that you've placed in us, which is the love of God, the love that never lets us go, the love that quickens us when we're despondent, the love that quickens us when we're despairing, the love that quickens us, Lord, even when we believe not. Thank you for the faithful love of your Son. Thank you again that you've drawn us here this morning. Now, Lord, may we again just magnify you. May we just glory only in you. May the beauty and the love of Jesus Christ just shine upon us, Lord God. May it just thrill us as we sit in these pews this morning. God, help us, Lord, to just bust out all over with the love of Jesus. Lord, there's an anointing, God. Help us not to miss the beauty of this life. The joy unspeakable and full of glory, passing by so many of God's precious people. Lord, help us to lay hold. Lord, the glory is now. God, help us to step into it today. We thank you. We praise you. We give you all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Always melting me today. So what else is new? But praise God, that's new to me every day. So we thank the Lord. Open your Bibles to the, let's go to Psalms. We'll be praising God and rejoicing in there a bit and other places too. But kind of get yourself situated maybe in the 51st chapter of Psalm. But today, and I mentioned it last week, the Lord had so been sweetly dealing with my life again on a subject that, thanks be to God, I do know, and each one of us do, how he saves us by a broken heart. And truly, it's saved by a broken heart today. And all I can tell you is sweetly, once again, the Lord brought me to this precious victory so vividly just a few weeks back, how he saved me by a broken heart. And going to have to pray for me. But every child of God will have these monumental moments in our lives. And I'm talking about where God completely breaks us of ourselves. And they're gut-wrenching times. And there are times that we despair of our own life. But brothers and sisters, we must know that these are the life-changing moments of our life. They really are. These are the life-altering moments of our life. And the Lord doesn't bring us to these times, brothers and sisters, to destroy us. Some people would like to think. But no, the Lord brings us to these places to prove himself faithful in our lives, to prove in us that he is the power, that, praise God, in us is a love that will never let us go, that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that there is a thing called the faithfulness of God, that is the rocking chair of grace, that is the blanket that as you lie down at night, and there might be fear, torment, but yet it's the blood that covers you and so sweetly rocks you into the grace of God that restores your soul. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, it is the plan of God to try us thoroughly in every way. As Paul said, that even in his life, how he was tried, if we will go the same way, we are going to have those like manners of testing and trying in our life. Now, in Psalm 119:75, and I'll just quote this for you, we speak of this often. That verse tells us that in his faithfulness, he has afflicted thee. Did you hear that? In his faithfulness, he afflicts you. He wounds you. He allows this chastening in our lives, brothers and sisters, because God knows exactly what we need and the time that we need it. But you see, that's only the beginning. This even goes much deeper. This goes right to the very, very heart of God. And as I mentioned in Psalm 51:8, we'll begin reading there. It says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." Now, I want you to think about that. He starts off and he says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." Now, listen to this. "That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Did you ever hear of those sweet shepherds of times past? I don't know if they do it much anymore. When they had a sheep that just wouldn't behave. Just kind of would keep wandering off. Always distracted, going maybe here or going there. Well, that faithful shepherd sometimes would have to go to that sheep and break one of its legs. Wound it. Not in a hurtful way, but in the most needful, loving way. And oftentimes that sheep would be so wounded that it couldn't walk anymore for a while. Couldn't move because it was hurt. But that faithful shepherd wouldn't expect that sheep to walk all by itself. But he would take that precious sheep and he would lay it over his shoulders and he would walk on with that sheep. Now, God often does this in our lives. And we see here that the Lord is encouraging even our life here to hear the joy. Help me to hear the joy and gladness. Matter of fact, the psalmist says, "Make me to hear the joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Help me see the power of the love of God even in the wounds that God, in your faithfulness, that I'm afflicted with. Go on over to the 17th verse of this same chapter. It says there in the 17th verse, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." What this is actually saying here, brothers and sisters, how it translates is the sacrifice that God desires from our lives is he wants in us a broken and contrite heart. Did you hear that? He wants that tenderness. He wants that life that truly is so before him, so fragilely before him, that knows that, God, I need you. I need you always. I need you in all things. I need that encouragement of you. It is okay to be tender in the things of God. Go over, and he starts to explain to us a little more why in Psalm 34 that he does this and he brings this to our lives. In Psalm 34:18, listen to this. "I believe you want the Lord nigh to you. I believe you want the Lord so comforting and so sweetly near your life." Well, here's how it happens. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit." Oh, and praise God. Finally, let's turn over to the 147th Psalm. And let's read verse 3. And there's so many more precious verses, and especially in the Psalms, that let me tell you something. David was the man after God's own heart. He knew this way. He knew this walk. He knew this tenderness that only a broken heart would bring in his life. And finally, in 147:3, he says, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Now, I love the Lord when he tells me these things. And I thank God, again, in that verse that we just read, the true translation of it means not only does he heal a broken heart and binds up the wounds, it means that there is a pattern that is being woven in our life and a greater strength will come forth from it. See, there's a purpose for suffering together with Christ. There is absolutely a glory in the rib wounds. The rib wounds. If we'll turn to the Word of God in the furnace. Now, brothers and sisters, God always uses the gold mine of a broken heart to win his best. Always. He always uses. It's a gold mine. When your heart is broken before the Lord, I'll tell you what, it's the greatest riches there could ever be. It is. It's the moment when God alone can do it. It's the moment when God alone has you alone with him. David had to go through this. The psalmist, as he writes these things, he knew this way. You think of that mighty time in his life, and there was more than just one time. But God magnifies this precious time when David goes and capitulates to the failure of adultery in his life and goes on with murder. But it wasn't just that, and it wasn't just the exposing of his life by the prophet that it came forth. The real brokenness, if you really read through that story, brothers and sisters, is when it cost him the life of his son. And through that sweet, precious life that was required, that's when David really became lovely to God. I mean, a loveliness and a beauty that was never there before until that broken heart and contrite spirit, that absolute shattered life, was before God. Job went the same way. He did. Job, there he was, facing the loss of all of his wealth, the loss of his esteem, the loss of his friends, but that death of all his children. The complete brokenness, in a sense, of his family. Now, I know this has been received many different ways. But to go through something like that and to have such heartache, and finally there's such a despondency that even your spouse, your loving wife, turns and says, curse God and die. But yet, that was when the Lord encouraged his life. That was when, praise God, there was the most triumphant of glory and victory that was going to come forth. And some of the greatest words that were ever, and when I say the greatest words, the most victorious words ever spoken in the Word of God. As Job comes forth and he says, though he slay me, will I trust him. Now let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, God can do anything. God is such a deliverer. He is so abundantly and abounding faithful. The Lord, praise God, has taken you from the guttermost to the uttermost. You know that. But brothers and sisters, he'll do that time and time again in spirit and in your life. Lord, help us to trust you. I got to thinking even about Peter. You know, there was a man, and I thank God for the zeal that was in Peter. I know that there was much to be learned. But he had a boldness to love the Lord. But in that boldness, there was a lot of reliance on self. We know these things. And as he would say to the Lord, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to be as these other guys. And the Lord had to so sweetly show Peter who Peter was, but for God. And there he was, that third time denying the Lord, cursing God, telling those that he never knew him and all of those things. And there sat in the broken heart. Where are we today, huh? I want to be broken before God. As I told you earlier in this sermon, I want to even be more tender to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know he must increase. And that means keep on increasing. And we must keep on decreasing. God, help us to really understand this. God, help us to really, really go after the beauty that God has for us in showing himself faithful. How magnificent it is when God brings us to these times, brothers and sisters, of the complete brokenness in our lives. See, that is really who he's looking for. As he says, I'm searching for the true worshiper that worships me in spirit and in truth. How do you think that the Lord is going to ever really shed the love of God abroad in your heart? You have to be a broken vessel. There has to be something that so transforms and causes such a seeping in and truly a saturation of the things of God. And you know what? In every life here today, that broken event has come to your life. Those broken times might even be there right now in your life. And you're desperately trying to reach and search and do all these things to try to find the answer and to try to figure this out. And commendable to the world and the virtues of different things in your life, to what a strong person you are and how you want to right this wrong or rise above this thing that you've made such a mess of. Or maybe you had nothing to do with. I don't know. Usually it's something that we partook in. Usually it was something we went in our own strength. Usually it's something that we were, to be honest with ourselves, brothers and sisters, that we were negligent about. Come on. We got lazy, a little bit slothful. We tried to put it off for so long. It was something we didn't want to face. We wanted to bury it for some time. From time to time, we thought that maybe it would just go away. But God who is faithful. And then, but God has you face that. And God has you come up against that. And because of the Lord in your life, praise his name, you've been chastened. Praise his name that you have a conscience. Thank God that you have a heart that repents. And you are broken at that moment. And you say, Jesus, thank you. I do need you. Before that, a lot of times you say, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Oh, I've made such a mess of this. I knew better. I knew I shouldn't have gone that way. I've been so hard, so stiff in this deal. And here we are. Now, what's it going to be? Huh? What's it going to be? See, brothers and sisters, without the tenderness of the Word of God, we'll never really understand how to stand truly in the love of God, in His love, to rest securely in that His love never fails us, to truly, completely believe that no matter what befalls me, He's still for me. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He will in no wise cast me out. He will perfect that which concerns me. He will perform the good work which he has begun. And he's going to do it in everything. Everything. Do you understand that? In everything? He will work it in everything. Because he promises us, even in my downsetting, even in my uprising, even in my failures or even in my triumphs. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You better hang your heart on that, or you're done. The devil will mow you over without knowing the absolute assurance of the love of God, the favor of God, his passion for you. His absolute desire for you to overcome. Amen. Yes. He is going to allow that leg to be broken, just like that little lamb. We're like sheep. Do you know the Word of God says that we're like sheep? And you are sheep. And you know what happens to all sheep? They go astray. They do. Oh, sheep just don't line up and say, oh, here comes shepherd. You ever watch sheep? They can't even pay attention. They can't. They get distracted. They're so fun. I go out on fishing holes up there in Fairplay. All them shepherds bring those sheep in there. And you see them walking through there. And I start fishing. And you start to see all the sheep coming down here around me. Shepherds over there. And then you hear this big whistle. Where'd he go? Uh-oh.
They could have been following a wolf for all they knew. But that's how you are, but for God. He knows you. He knows his sheep. Do you know that? Do you know he knows your thought afar off? Do you know he knows your downsetting? He knows your uprising. I mean, he really, 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 really knows you. Oh, my goodness. See, without the Holy Ghost causing us truly to abound in believing those things, we never really get the victory. We just kind of bump along and bounce along. We just try to kind of come up for air at times as opposed to really riding above the storm. I've heard many say when they don't really believe God through a tragedy, have you ever heard people say, I'm mad at God? Have you ever heard yourself say, I'm mad at God? Have you ever been bitter with God? Have you ever felt that God wasn't fair to you? And you know what happens in those times? You start to withdraw from the truth. And you know what? But for God, what can even happen is you might not ever get over it. It might always be hanging there. But God doesn't want that to be. See, God help us to never be broken by a broken heart. And what I mean by that, God help us never to give up. Don't ever give up. Don't ever, never recover. But instead, take the grace, brothers and sisters, that's always there. And see, the grace is in the scriptures of God. This is why we need to be reminded of his truth. That, no, you're not broken and cast away by a broken heart. You're saved by a broken heart. God knows every broken heart that you need. He knows every downsetting, absolutely. And we're going to rest on that one right now. He knows every valley of the shadow of death that you must go through. He knows these things. These are the before ordained good works that ye should walk therein. God doesn't will you to sin. You know that things, but he'll sure allow you to fail. And over, I read of every brother and sister in the Word of God, a perfect life of all of these allowed failures, so God could show himself faithful. I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. You can't heal yourself. You can't do a thing. Surrender, submit, allow me to work it out. That's what God will do. But see, brothers and sisters, trusting his love in brokenness is what it's about. Hearing his word and believing his word. The promise of God that a smoking flax he will not quench, a bruised reed he will not break. God will always take you to your limit. Do you know that? He'll always take you to your limit, but he'll never take you past it. Huh? I see some doubtful ones. Don't you be a doubting Thomas. He'll never take you past that point. He will bring you to a despairing of your life, but oh, he'll never leave you despondent. I want to close with this thought, brothers and sisters. This is our Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I think of how the Word of God says, not a bone of his shall be broken. It's so wonderful. You know, when they crucified him and they tore his flesh and they ripped his beard and they bled him and all of those different things. But not a bone of his was broken. Isn't that something? But I want you to read what he did for you and he did for me. And in 11:24, here's what he says to us about his life. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, meaning the bread, and said, take it, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Not a bone of his was broken, but he was broken for me. I think you get it. That's all I can say. He's been tested, he's been tried in every way for us.
He's broken for you. He says that he wants you to enter into that with him. The most precious of all things in this life, brothers and sisters, is to suffer together with Christ. To truly enter in to that brokenness. And I'll tell you, as he said, oh my goodness, it's a glory. He was exalted so from that time, praise be to God, and he's waiting to even be exalted more. But you know who's going to be with him when he's exalted to the fullest? The one who is broken with him. Can you imagine that? The one who suffers together with him. That's the one that will share his throne. That's the one that will share that crown of righteousness. That is the one, praise God, that will share his glory. But you know, of all that, the best part, that is the one that will receive the kiss of the bridegroom. And that is one that will always enjoy the embrace of my beloved. It's almost time. And you know what, as that sweet song says, it will be worth it all. Praise God. Oh, you know, let's just stand and praise him for a bit before we go today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, God. Oh, Lord, as every head is bowed again, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you again for your love to us and, oh, your sweet goodness. Lord, thank you for every broken heart that's here today. Because we know, Lord, you're working your very best in it. Lord, help us to feed on what you've given us today and to arise. Lord, to mount up upon those wings as eagles and just start a soaring. Because we know after we suffered a while, oh, praise God, the perfection, oh, the completeness, the settling, oh, the pleasing sacrifice to you. Lord, help us to want to please you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.